Diary of a Madman. October 3rd.
An extraordinary circumstance happened today. I got up rather late, and when Mavra brought me my boots, I asked her what time it was. Hearing that it was long past 10, I dressed hurriedly. I confess I did not want to go to the department at all, knowing beforehand what black looks I should get from the chief of our division. For some time he's taken to saying to me,
"Whatever sort of rot have you always got in your head now, man? Sometimes you tear about like a possessed creature. Sometimes you muddle the papers so that the very devil couldn't make them out. You write the titles without capital letters and leave out all the dates and numbers.
Hang the fellow! He's envious, of course, because I sit in the director's study and mend His Excellency's pens. In short, I shouldn't have gone to the department at all if I hadn't hoped to meet the treasurer and, perhaps, get the confounded Jew to give me, anyway, a little of my salary in advance. I never came across such a creature. For him to ever advance one the money a single month, why, doomsday will come before that happens. You can beg him, entreat him. However hard up you are, the old grey devil won't give it you. And yet, at home, his own cook boxes his ears. She does. Everybody knows that. I can't understand what advantage it is to serve in the department. There are no resources whatsoever. Now, in the provincial administration, or in the common courts, or court of exchequer, that's quite another thing. There, sometimes you will see a fellow squeezed up in a corner writing away in a shabby old coat, and such a fright to look at, and yet see what a nice little villa he rents. You can't offer him a gilded china cup, for instance. He'll say, "That's a doctor's present." No, you must give him a pair of carriage horses, or a fine sledge, or beaver fur worth 300 rubles. He'll look as meek can be, and talk so sweetly. "May I trouble you to lend me your penknife?" And then he'll fleece you, till he leaves nothing but the shirt on your back. It's true, though, our service is more genteel. Everything so clean. The tables are of red wood, and all the directors say the formal "you." Indeed, but that it's a genteel service, I'd have left the department long ago. I put on my old cloak and took my umbrella, because it was pouring with rain. There was no one in the streets. I saw nothing but a few women with shawls over their heads and some Russian shopkeepers with umbrellas. There was no one of the upper classes about, except an official like myself. I saw him at a crossing, and said to myself, "Aha! No, my friend, you're not going to the department. You're running after the woman in front of you, and looking at her ankles." What a set of brutes our officials are! They're just as bad as any officer. Can't see a woman's hat at all without going for it. Just as I was thinking that, I saw a carriage driving up to a shop I was passing. I knew it at once. It was our director's carriage. But he wouldn't be going shopping, I thought. It must be his daughter. I stopped and leaned against the wall. A footman opened the carriage door, and she sprang out like a bird. How she glanced round with those eyes and brows of hers! Heaven defend me! I am done for! And why ever should she drive out in this pouring rain? And then people say that women are not devoted to chiffons. She did not recognize me, and indeed I purposely muffled myself up, because my cloak was very muddy, and old-fashioned, too. Now they are worn with deep capes, and mine had little capes, one above the other, and the cloth wasn't good either. Her lapdog didn't get in before the shop door was shut, and was left out in the street. I know that dog. It is called Medji. The next minute, I suddenly heard a little voice, "Good morning, Medji." "Why? What the deuce? Who said that?" I looked round and saw two ladies under an umbrella, an old lady